Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated October 30th, 2015. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Sir Style Teakle and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music is by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, how's it going this week, Asclepius?
I'm going really well, thanks, Lord Baldrith. It is so exciting to be a new release. I think this one is the best one ever. And I'm just having so much fun.
I definitely agree. There's a lot of great stuff to play with this release, aside from some stuff we've been waiting for. And it is totally fun. I can't get out of the game. I can't get everything done that I want to do. And this is the way I like to play.
Oh, I know. You just get into it and think, yeah, I'll spend 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. And a couple of hours later, you think, yeah, I suppose I really better go to bed.
Yeah, stupid work. I just want to stay on the game.
I know. Even Thursday night, well, of course, being different time zone to you guys, the new release comes out in the middle of the night for me. And I had had a couple of late nights, and I was working Friday morning. And they do like it if I'm awake when I'm working. So I just thought, no, I'd better not. I'd better not stay up. Otherwise, I would have. And I ended up working most of Friday, which was a real tragedy.
That's terrible. So on top of a new release, you're stuck at work longer than normal.
I know. I mean, I thought of telling people to suck it up and take a couple of aspirin and go away, but I thought I'd better not do that.
They might not like you to do that, huh?
No. So I stayed there and did my duty and came home, got into it last night and this morning. Oh, it's just such an awesome place.
And I'm loving the snowy biome and the vendors. There's so much fun stuff in our town now.
It is a absolutely beautiful town. I'm totally loving it. Love the biome. Love the atmosphere. It is just awesome.
Yeah, and it's really cool the way you can set up your... You can kind of set up your town to be... Even though it's a really giant template, you can set it up to... different areas, like a neighborhood area and a crafting market area. It's just really cool, the versatility you have with these towns, what you can do with them.
Oh, that is lovely. And that solves the query, or the concern maybe, that all the towns are going to look similar, because they're absolutely not. Because people will put houses and lots down in different places, and they'll have different layouts. And it might take a while to realize, yeah, hey, the basic geography is the same as the snowy biome up the other end of the map, but the town looks totally different.
The layout's the same, but you can change it so much with all the decoration of your town and this where you put what kind of houses and where the houses are, that all the towns do look unique, and that's really awesome.
Oh, absolutely is. And then I spent some time up at Rift's End today, where I'm also living. I'll tell you something, you do have to come up there and see that. It is absolutely exquisite.
Definitely. That's a town I haven't visited, and I definitely need to get out and explore a little bit. There's just so many places to see they keep putting in. So, yeah, definitely going to go down there.
Oh, yeah. One thing that I noticed straight away, I seriously had to pick my jaw up off the floor. You know, we've been talking about the water for a while, that it looks black and it looks like oil?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. You go to Rift's End. The water is somewhere between crystal clear and blue.
Oh, perfect. So did they put some of the new test water in Rift's End?
I believe they did. They must have. It's just exquisite. It looks like you're standing on the shore of a tropical island. You can see right through the water to the sand on the bottom. The ripples are going across the water, and it just looks absolutely exquisite and perfect. I could sit there and watch it all day.
Well, that's exactly what we want. We want to be able to, you know, just relax in the game too. That's an awesome thing.
Oh, I mean, they're just coming up with this stuff all the time. And sure, we're seeing this game as it's being constructed. And admittedly, there are a lot of things still that don't work because they're not in yet. And that's fine, that's understandable. But oh, as they're coming in, it just makes such a difference. And I was standing there a little while ago, sun was coming up, a ray of reflected sunlight across the water, and then the sun comes right up. And it reminded me of when we visited one of the islands in the Great Barrier Reef off the coast of East Australia. Water is as clear as crystal. You can see right to the bottom. And of course, there was coral and stuff on the bottom there. You could see right down there. It was absolutely beautiful.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, another thing I noticed that they put in our skies of our city is all of the different planets and those unique little funny little shaped objects that you see in the sky. That stuff's all there, and it's just so fun to look around the sky, you know, from your balcony or something. It's really beautiful.
It is. It is absolutely gorgeous. And I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe that that is going to have some significance. The astronomical events, based on the time of the month, where the planets are, whatever, that's going to affect what we do and how much success we have crafting stuff and all that sort of jazz. It's going to be much, much, much deeper than it is now.
Definitely going to have to get a cheat sheet on that, because that's going to be complicated, because I look at the dates and things on the map where it tells you the kind of what month and everything. Now that's confusing. I don't know what it means.
No, nor do I yet, but it'll happen. It'll come. We'll get used to it.
Well, hopefully, I know we have, some of us have that dark star thing that has the moving things
the
around
moon
it. Maybe that'll help us.
Yeah, I've looked at it, and I've gone, "Durr, yeah, okay, that's a clever little thing. Don't know what it does, but it looks fancy."
Yeah, I would wonder if eventually, when you look at it, it kind of tells you, you know, what, where you're at, what maybe it'll even tell you, this is a good time to make this or something.
Well, that would be great, yeah. When all these planets are lined up, if they are, then that's a great time to make your poison potions or stuff, whatever. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be very cool. And then eventually maybe you'll learn, okay, now this particular planet is good for, you know, fire, and this one's good to make things out of air, and this one's good for melee. I don't know, maybe.
That's right, maybe, yeah. But yes, that's going to have a big influence on us, but as you say, the sky is just beautiful. And, yeah, look, standing on the hill overlooking the coastline of Rift's End, oh, what an awesome place. The developers have just excelled themselves.
Oh, yeah. Another thing I really, really like is putting up a moon tower, because that is a gorgeous building if you ever look at it with all the lightning coming off of it. It looks really cool.
It does, doesn't it? It's fantastic, and you can see it from such a long way away. It is brilliant.
Yeah, it's also good for making it so you can figure out which way to go to get to town. It's very handy for that, too.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Because, as you say, the biomes are pretty big. And it's not difficult to get lost.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I get lost every time I need to help somebody go put their house somewhere, and it's usually, a lot of people want to be way out by the water. And it's like, oh, man, now how do I get back? I don't know how many miles it is, but it's huge.
Oh, it sure is. But there you go. Hey, how would you be if the whole world were on that scale?
I'm okay. I like a big world. As far as I'm concerned, having a big world gives me a lot more to do because I like to explore. So that'll be great.
Yeah. But I tell you what, at least having the overland map helps you to get places quicker.
Yes. Once you kind of get your bearings on that overland map, it actually is pretty easy. And boy, I can't figure out north and south on there sometimes, especially if I'm in the middle of nowhere, but I'm getting better.
Yes. Yeah, me too. Yeah, I can get from top to bottom a bit easier now. And I can even run through Eastridge Pass. That's not too bad.
Yeah, Eastridge Pass, that's a pretty good place to go fighting, right?
I haven't tried to fight them, Because it's like it's one of those control points. You can probably, if you're a reasonable level, beat the first one or two, but then they keep coming, and then they get tougher, and then there's more of them, and then they will kill you.
Yeah, once you get past the hardens and all those kind of things, those things hurt really bad.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, they absolutely do.
I think I was fighting. I was actually able to kill the hardened stuff a couple of releases ago when I really, really got aggressive and got in the 60s level or something dumb like that. And, boy, it still took so much work to kill those guys. And it doesn't seem like the reward was really worth it, you know, compared to the easier to kill guys. So I didn't do very many.
Sure. Oh, that's right. And we have to get to the place where we can kill a troll.
Yes, I know. And you know, I was getting a little scared because I think I saw some pictures on the forum of some of the new areas that Scotty's drawing up, and there was a nice little troll kind of in the way of one of the entrances. So I'm hoping the tree dread's not in there somewhere or
lovely.
Something.
Yeah, so do I. Oh boy. Okay. Yeah, I hope they haven't put him in the dragon's mouth this release.
No, I know. I'm so scared about that. Oh, I actually had a chance to see the dragon last release right before it closed out. With Coeur d'Alene, we went and saw the dragon and got killed, but I got some really good pictures. It was awesome.
Oh, nice.
Love that dragon. He's just totally cool.
He absolutely is. Yeah, I haven't seen him yet myself in the flesh, but yeah, look, the pictures I've seen look beautiful.
Yeah, I got some. I got one picture I took of him. It was still color, but it said, "You've died." So I got it right before it was over.
Oh, lovely. You took it at just the right second.
Yeah, it was great. It was like a perfect photography moment there. It was awesome.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay, now, I want my fireballs to do that much damage, by the way.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. We could get there, maybe. Given a year or two.
Yeah. Level 300, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, I guess we could start the news. What do you reckon?
Yeah, we have news, don't we? Yeah,
we do have news. We have update number 149. We're playing R23. There's an underground biome. There's Baron's Reach, Extra Life, and more. Isn't that great?
Very cool.
Okay, play release 23 now. As we all are, you know, when I was on, it seemed that there were more people logged in than I've seen in a long time.
Did you end up with any queues when you were logging in?
Not so much, no. I heard about it. I think there was a massive log jam when they released first. Yeah, people were really waiting to get in.
Now, I'm wondering, does that mean there's more people than have ever played before, or is there something else going on?
Don't know. I hope it's more people, because that's a good sign.
Well, yeah, that reminds me of old games I've played, you know, when you get right in when the game starts up, and the first weekend you can't get in. So that's the sign of a very good game, a very successful game.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, and the other thing I heard around the traps, the gossip, was that, you know, this was the time to melt down all your add-on store stuff, if you want to, before you log into R23.
Yep.
And I heard that, you know, people were trying to do that, and it took about 6 hours to melt down something, because the queues were so long.
Yeah, I felt for those guys. That would really be hard to have to wait to get into the game to get your melting done. Oh, no.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and if you get into the game first, well, then that's it. I'm sorry, you've logged in, so there's no melting down you can do.
I'm really, really lucky that I didn't need to melt anything down this time, so yeah. So hopefully all that went okay and nobody had any problems with that as far as, you know, getting everything melted that you need to melt. That's important.
It is, that's right. But as you say, it's the sign of a successful game. I mean, wouldn't it be sad if nobody wanted to log in, nobody wanted to melt down anything, and they're like running a shop and nobody's coming?
That's right. You really want to see these kind of problems. These are problems that, while they're a pain, they're good problems. So, good stuff.
That's for sure. Okay, so We've got release 23. Successfully launched. Da-da-da-da. Massive changes to combat. Tons of Halloween content. Expansions to fishing and taming. New scenes, including Hyvale Battle, Ijanaford and Virtus. We've got placeable servants, house pets and town NPCs, player-owned underground biome, and more. That's brilliant.
Hey, that picture, I was just curious. I've never seen those mushrooms. Is that the underground biome? Is that what that is?
Yes, that is the underground biome. Because, yeah, as I say a little bit further down, yeah, they held the release party in Neath, which has gone to an underground biome now. So that looks pretty spooky, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, so that's Sir Stiles' town. Isn't that cool?
It is cool. Yeah.
That's very cool. I don't think Neath's ever, had an event, so that's really cool.
It is very cool. Yeah, more power to them. And everybody's looking like they're having a lot of fun. That is brilliant.
Yeah, the costumes are awesome. I love that jack-o'-lantern lit head. It's cool.
Yeah, that's great. And people walking around with a plague mask. That's lovely.
Yeah, they got our little white mask. I think you can dye those, right?
I think so, yes. And a couple of skeletons strategically placed by the amplifier. That looks cool.
Yep, skeletons are awesome. The one thing I was a little disappointed in is I couldn't put my spider webs on the town itself. So I hope that's coming.
Oh, dear. So you have to put them in your house.
Yeah, they do. They go in the house, which is they're awesome. But, I wanted to scatter them around a little bit.
Have a spider infested town.
Yeah, it'll make it scary, just like, the real areas.
Oh, lovely. You're an evil man.
Hey, it's Halloween. I can get away with it.
It is. That's right. Oh, fun. Okay, and we got a whole bunch of Release 23 instructions. And I tell you, there's a huge amount that they've done. That's fantastic.
Good job.
And they've expanded fishing and taming. That's brilliant. And they looked at their water. As they said, they needed to upgrade it. So they've experimented with this new system.
I can't wait to see the water with the weather. That's really awesome looking on the video.
Oh, that's going to be lovely. And they upgraded to Unity 5.2 that fixed a bunch of visual issues. Lovely.
That's awesome.
Yeah. They've expanded the starting story a bit, which is really nice.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of playing through all three scenes because I got so many characters to get get home. So it was really cool to see all the new areas. They're really awesome. Good job on those.
Oh, that's terrific. Great. And, okay, so what they've run through, they've done a full wipe. So, yes, expect to have nothing. But it's all in the bank, all the stuff you own. So you can go to the bank, get it out, start building your house again.
Yeah, it's fun.
Everything from the add-on store, that's in the bank as well. So, yeah, start to build everything again from the ground up. That'll be fun.
But the Halloween items are in, and the jack-o'-lanterns are very cool.
Oh, they absolutely are. And the really good news, as with past releases, we get an experience bonus. So, to speed things along, that bonus is now quadruple experience earn rate instead of double. And that is awesome.
So you'll be back to where you left off within days, right?
I reckon. Yeah, I was just doing a few little skirmishes last night. And it seems that every few minutes, the little sound effect plays, the little light effect plays. Oh, some skill or other has gone up. Isn't that awesome?
I think it's really awesome that they do start you out with quite a few points in the trees, at least some of the trees, so it is a head start if you're going in those directions.
Yeah, I think that was fairly well thought out. As it happened, I took the courage path, so I got my sword and shield back, so that was cool. I was happy with that. And yeah, went to Highvale, and as people are finding out, you get shunted straight back to Solas Bridge because they haven't finished that part yet. But yeah, you get started out with a decent amount of skills in the sword area, so that's good.
Yeah, and also I finally had some money where I could do some training, and I was noticing some of the second and third tier spells did not require you to waste time doing 10 points in the one before. It was zero requirements, so that was a really nice change too.
Oh, that's a good thing, yes. Because some of those preliminary skills, we thought, well, that's not very useful to me. I'm really never going to use that, but I'm going to have to use it so that I can unlock the one below. So I'm glad they thought about that.
Yeah, big example is the light spell. Why does that have anything to do with my ability to be powerful? Come on.
Right, yeah, that makes absolute sense. Good.
Well, so very, very, very good change there, Chris, and everybody that worked on that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, huge kudos for that. And this is just the process of leveling, of polishing, of balancing, of getting everything right. And that's great.
And they are listening, and they are definitely improving every time. I love the new hit point thing on my health bar. I know some people might not like that, but I love that kind of stuff.
Okay, so you have it displaying the actual numbers?
Yes, I like to know exactly where my hit points and focus is so I can know when to back up.
Oh, fair enough. Okay, cool. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I haven't done it so far, but I'll think about it. At least I can... I mean, I keep an eye on the bars, and yeah, when the red line's getting very close to the end, I think it's about time to run away.
Well, for example, one of my mages, I decided to use some death magic on. I don't normally do that, but there's a spell that takes health to give you focus, and kind of the same amount every time, so you can see with the numbers on your bar. You better not do that again, or you're going to die. So without that, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah. And especially when you're starting out, your starting numbers are fairly low in terms of health and focus, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, I think you get 50. I died in the starter area on one guy because I kind of fell off a little cliff or something, or a little bump. Oop, dead. And there's no cross up. There's no ank up there, by the way.
Oh, no. Ah, one thing I noticed in the starting area, I was just so impressed. You walk around the world a little bit, and you can walk to an edge, look over an edge. There's a planet down there.
It's just so brilliant. It's Novia, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's right. You're looking down at Novia.
Is that what the planet's called? Is the planet called Novia or just the continent?
Yeah, probably just the continent.
I guess I missed
the planet has a name.
Yeah, where's my lore at? I've read the book and I still don't know these things. Oh, boy.
Oh, dear. Yeah, but there we are. That you can just look down on it and say, that's the world I'm going to. It's brilliant.
It's beautiful. I really love the whole the space thing. It makes you want to kind of see all these little planets that are up in the sky.
It does. Yep, absolutely. That's lovely. Okay, so we've got Halloween content. Yeah, as you were saying, all this spooky, scary stuff. Animal masks and wolf helms and jack-o'-lanterns and zombie masks and headless and Day of the Dead and a Grim Reaper mask. Whew. Brilliant.
It's awesome.
Love it. It is. And jack-o'-lantern, spider web wall decorations, a Grim Reaper statue, the skull candles. Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're beautiful. I got some of those.
They are. And we can now place a servant or a pet in our home. And the servants will have conversations. And they can do their own business.
Nice.
That's lovely.
I did. The one thing I did test was the pets. You can put them down and they walk around. They're really awesome.
Oh, that's great. That's lovely. And they're saying that you can place your servants and things in your home. To maintain performance, they'll only be active when the owner's present right now. But long term, they'll be active when any player is on the property. So that's cool.
It's good. And I notice you can right-click them and you get a small menu of things you can do with them. So hopefully eventually there's going to be some more added to that.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, once again, they're just bringing more things in. It's being filled out and we will be amazed at the richness of it.
See, this is the kind of stuff that is just awesome. All the depth, the little intricate interactive details. That to me is what makes a game last forever, because that's the kind of stuff that you're going to get on the game. You're going to have all these cool things you can do, even if it's something dumb like watering a plant. To me, that's just all really cool.
Well, yeah, you might think it's dumb, but it adds that sense of realism. And this is supposed to be a realistic world that we're living in, and that's what makes it realistic. It's great.
Yeah, it's not like the kind of game where you just get on the game and start fighting. No, you've got a lot of other things you can get involved with, and that makes things, you know, more interesting.
It does. I mean, if you don't like fighting, you can sit down and fish, or you can garden, or you can write books. You can do anything you like in this game, and you can profit and prosper.
Yep, and you can get good at any of these things. Even if you're a terrible fighter, you can be really good at creating top-quality armor and furniture and just make money.
That's exactly right. And there'll be a ream of other people who are prepared to go out and get your raw materials for you and pay you to make them good-quality goods.
Yeah, that'll be when they were talking about putting a board in where you could put work orders up and you can fill people's work orders and they'll pay you and then they'll get the resources they were looking for. That's going to be fun. I can't wait till that kind of stuff comes in too.
Yeah, that's beautiful, and that'll be a real interactive economy. And I think when the game gets to a critical mass, which I'm sure it will on release, or maybe even a little bit before, there'll be enough people to do that and to drive it.
Oh, for sure. That's the kind of stuff a lot of people look for. It's like, oh, I wonder how I'm going to make money. And then they like to fight, and so they can go out and they can fight a specific thing to get to fill the order. So that gives you drive. That gives you something to shoot for. Those are the kind of things you really need.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. And they're talking about spells and skills. They've reordered all of those. Now there's a subterfuge skill tree. That looks pretty interesting, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Have you delved into that at all?
Oh, I haven't delved into anything yet, which is disgusting, but yes, I will. No, it looks great. You got a distract skill, a sap skill, so you can attack someone from behind, an engage skill, so you can rush up close to melee range and attack them, a poison weapon, and they've moved a few things around from other trees, like camouflage and silent movement and sneak attack and trip and train dexterity and all of that. A weak point, so they've pulled them all in from other trees because they seem to fit better here. That's fantastic.
I was actually quite happy they moved dex out of the requirements to heavy lifting, because I don't really need dex with my mage that much.
Sure, and it makes sense too. And then they've expanded the chaos tree, which makes Darkstar happy.
Yeah, I still see a lot of blanks on there, but yeah, some of the new spells coming up are pretty cool.
They absolutely are, yeah. So we got a Chaos Bolt, a Chaotic Step, that'll move you somewhere else, who knows where, it doesn't matter, anywhere, even if it's up in the air. But you'll be fine, don't worry about it.
Sure you will, you'll be just great.
Yeah, oh, lovely. And damage types and resistances, that's interesting. They're directly tied to magic schools. And it fits closely with attunement. And that is going to be really interesting to see how that works. Because if you are practicing fire magic, and say, for example, life magic, then you are going to be really good at that. But if someone hits you with a water spell or a death spell, you're really weak, because that's your opposite. You're really attuned to the ones you are playing with, but not very good at the alternative.
Yeah, that's the thing you would probably want to think about before you went up against a ghost. If you've got real high life magic, you're probably going to get taken down a lot faster than normal.
Yeah, that's a thought, isn't it? You'd, against a ghost, you would need to be good in death magic, but not everybody wants to do that. Maybe you just have to wear heavy armor and hit them hard with melee and fire. I think that does the job.
Now, do the creatures are they affected by these attunements themselves as well?
It says it has not yet been propagated to NPCs.
Okay.
So
okay.
Maybe not so.
So eventually you'll have to keep in mind that ghosts will probably be kind of hurt by life magic. If there are any life spells that do damage, I'm not sure on that.
Oh, yeah. Searing Ray.
Yeah. That's a light spell, not the life, right?
It's a light spell. You're right. Yes, yes.
Sun spell.
Yes. Oh, Banish Undead.
Okay. Banish Undead. Yeah, I've never been to that.
Yeah. That should hurt them. Release Before Last. That was really powerful. And then they wound it back.
Oh, come on. Why did you do that?
I know.
I keep asking the question, who is the one telling them that magic is too powerful? Because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. No, Banish Undead was really, really strong a couple of releases ago. And last release, it was all right.
Yeah, not quite worth the effort, huh?
But it's a good spell, and it's a wonderful animation. Oh, lovely white special effects radiating around from you in all directions.
Oh, cool.
And every undead in the vicinity takes damage, which is great.
That sounds pretty handy. All kills is very cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a great area of effect spell. You just have to get up to, like, 99 skill in it, and you'd be awesome.
Yeah, boy. How far down is that on the tree?
I think it's about a third level. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, I usually stop in the second level to heal other people, and that's about it.
Yeah. And it does take reagents. Or it will. It's like most things. It will work without reagents, but more chance of failing.
Yeah, yeah, Pim. What kind of reagents do life magic spells take? Pretty serious.
What do they take? Not too bad. I mean, if you got some garlic, some sulfurous ash. What else? Maybe some mandrake root and black pearl. I think nothing too exotic.
All the basics, you just buy them from the vendor if you really need them.
Yeah, if you really need them, buy them from the vendor. Or, wander around, find them in-game. And I hope the drops are getting more common and more rewarding.
Yeah, the only thing you can find in pretty good bulk is, like, the garlic and the nightshade. I've been finding quite a bit of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I had tons of nightshade.
Yeah, you get, like, 4 and 5 at a time, too, though, so they're really kind of nice.
That's right. Yes. Oh, and they're saying armor balance. They're calculating all parts of your armor, not just a chest, so that's all right. And they've adjusted the values of all the armor. So just when you thought you got used to something, it's changed. So damage resistance of the armor types appears to be much closer and lower to each other. Closer to each other and lower. So, yeah. As we were saying before we went on air, I think plate armor is not going to protect you against all the damage from somebody coming at you.
Yep, that would make sense.
But a plate armor will increase damage avoidance. So it causes more hits to be glancing blows. So they'll still hit you, but it's as if the kobold's axe or hammer will bounce off you a bit and cause 3 damage instead of 20.
And then I would hope if you threw a fireball at somebody in plate, it would burn them worse.
Yeah. Yeah, it could cook them like a little oven. That'd be nice.
Yeah, you're trapped in that plate armor, yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay, and this is an interesting one. We got temporary PvP flagging. So that hadn't happened before. But now, if you see a person walking around the map who's open PvP, and you want to have a fight with them, then just attack them. And that'll automatically, effectively flag you as open PvP.
Okay, so rather than doing a duel, you'll just start hitting them, huh?
That's right, yeah. If you see someone who's walking around, they've flagged themselves as PvP, and you think, well, I feel like a fight. I'll just see how I'm going. I'd like to do that. But I haven't been to the Oracle. And it's a long way back to the Oracle. And I don't want to have to, you know, say, hi, do you want to have a duel, whatever. No, just attack them. And you apparently get a confirmation dialogue. Do you really want to do this? And you say, yes. Okay, right. You are effectively open PvP now.
I wonder how the PvP people feel about that. It almost seems kind of unfair to me, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. It also does mean that anybody else can join in and attack you.
Right. Well, that's true, because now you're PvP flagged, and then
that's
you
right.
can go after everyone. So yeah.
Yes. And to get out of it, you have to leave the scene. So as long as you remain in that scene, that's what you are.
Now, how about if you're in the middle of a PvP battle after you did that and you can get to the edge of the scene, does that save you?
If you can get to the edge of the scene and leave the scene, then yeah, that would save you.
Yeah, that's where I saw people saying things like, that's not right because, you know, they started the battle. I need to be able to chase them and kill them.
Yeah. But it's probably the same situation applies now. I guess if you manage to leave a scene, then, yeah, you left the battle.
Well, I can just imagine a lot of those people just, when they first enter the scene, if they can reach somebody, they just shoot at them real pot shots and you can leave the scene right away.
That could be interesting, yeah. People will find any exploit, won't they?
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, you have to worry about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, and we've got healing spells have a much tighter range of values to make them more predictable and easier to balance. Yeah, all right, fine. I hope they're still good.
Yeah, the healing's not doing too bad for me so far.
Oh, that's good. And we have obsidian chips. That's a reagent that all chaos spells require. It can be found on obsidian golems. And I'll tell you one thing, they are really, really tough. They are hard to kill.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but they're on flesh flayers as well, in shard falls. They're not too bad.
Yeah, but they're in shard falls. Yikes.
They are, yes, I know. But if you can keep away from the obsidian golems, the flesh flayers aren't too bad.
And the other people trying to kill you.
Well, well, you just go at the right time of day. I mean, that's the advantage of living in this part of the world. When I get on, most people are asleep. It's lovely.
I don't think I'm going to do chaos magic. That sounds too dangerous.
It does. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, most forms of chaos magic will now require that you have an obsidian chip. You might not necessarily use it, but you have to have it.
I wonder if they've got those at the vendor now.
Yeah. I tell you what, there'll be a market. If people want to use chaos magic and they don't want to go to a Shardfall area, they're going to want to buy obsidian chips.
That almost sounds like something you'd get off ore too, you know, here and there.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. So, okay, that's my next business opportunity.
That's right. That'd be a good thing to sell, I'll bet.
It would, for sure. Okay, riposte blades now buffs damage avoidance instead of damage resistance. So, yeah, it won't stop the hit, but it'll make it like a glancing blow. Okay. Ignite weapon, you can use for all melee weapons. You can resurrect people that aren't in your party. That's all right.
That's good. I didn't know that wasn't even in.
Yeah, apparently that was always the case. You could only resurrect people that were in your party. But now you can resurrect anybody. So that's lovely.
That's good, because people that heal generally like to just help people. That's why they're a healer.
Well, that's right, yeah. Corpse explosion is an area of effect spell. Lovely. Dazzling rays is an area of effect. I like that. That's good.
That's a good spell, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great spell. Buff dismissal. Yeah, okay, we can dismiss them. And, yeah, they've finally fixed the fall damage. You probably won't die from tripping on a pebble anymore.
That's good. Very important.
I like that. Yeah. And
powering or falling into the water.
Oh, yeah. That makes it hard. Free attack and charge up visual effects. Yeah, powering up your free attack has a visual effect. Cool.
Have you tried that yet? I was going to try that.
Yeah, I tried it, and I think I sucked at it. I died very quickly, so I thought, no, that's a stupid idea.
That's why I quit using it. It takes forever to charge up and hit, charge up and hit. It's just easier just to go.
That's right. And by the time you've done that a few times, people have been hitting you.
Plus, don't you miss an awful lot when you're first learning your weapon?
Yeah, you do. You do. And the visual they're now using for targeting, like fireball and fishing, it's a sigil and not just a plain green disc. So that's cool.
It's awesome. It's very the fireball sigil is very nice.
Oh, lovely. Beautiful. Okay. And taming, well, yeah, a lot of new skills. I haven't even started into taming yet.
Me neither. I haven't played with it yet.
But there we are. So if you've got a summoned pet, it just reduces your total focus. It doesn't constantly drain you. So that's a better idea.
That is better. That's probably the case for all your summoned creatures.
Yeah. And you can have multiple. Each one's now associated with a specific whistle that you have to have. And you put it on your necklace, which is lovely.
Oh, okay. Cool. So it's a neck. Wears on your neck. Yeah.
It goes in the necklace slot. So that's something we can put that. But you don't see it on the tune. You just see it on the character display.
Right, yeah. Unfortunately, they haven't got that. That'd probably be some serious tech getting it so you could vary what your character's wearing on their neck. That'd be pretty cool.
That's right, yeah. Yep. Okay. So, and tamed creatures that die and are not resurrected using the resurrect spell will be permanently dead. So they're gone. Should help to drive the market for tamed creatures.
So you might want to take up resurrection if you're a tamer. That'd probably be a good mix.
It probably would. Yeah, that's right. Yes. And tame and color recovery. If you develop that skill, increases the chance you can recover a tame and color if taming doesn't work. That's good.
Yeah.
You can tame pigs and horses. Lovely.
What do you need them for? Are they that valuable to your fighting here?
Oh, I've always wanted a tame pig.
You tame it, take it home, cut it up and make bacon out of it. I don't know.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Hey, Percy, just hop up on the shelf and get down the knife for me.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yes, master.
I love it. Now, if they had a horse that you could tame and ride, now that'd be good.
See, now that's the kind of taming that would excite me. I like that kind of stuff, being able to tame my own horse. I love it.
That'll be the next step. And it mightn't come in till episode 2, but that'll be the next step, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. We haven't even got mounts in yet, so asking for mounts so we can tame is really jumping the gun.
Absolutely. But the pledge reward from the Royal Artisan Pledge is now functional, and it summons a tamed chest mimic. So put one of those in your house, and when someone tries to open it, it will probably eat them.
Now, I've got some information on that mimic that I didn't know about. I just learned today from Gabriel. That is a pet that fights with you, so definitely good.
Oh, very nice. Like it.
Okay, so I need to get mine out. I didn't know about that. Oh.
Nor did I. Wow. Oh, there you go. It gets more exciting. Okay, story. Polishing passes on the story, continuing to expand it, new scenes. Etzeter is delayed, right? They did the world building, but they didn't have time to add the NPCs. Fair enough. Okay. Tutorial updates. They've updated Highvale, Blood River, and Solus Bridge. And the tutorials are actually getting good.
They are. I was reading through them this time a little bit, so yeah.
Yeah. And I went down the Battle of Highvale. It's the third starting map, Singe on the Courage quest line. Very good. And yeah, you walk around this burned out place, raid all the corpses if you want to take a virtue hit.
I did.
Yeah, so did I.
You know, I make more money going through the Solace Bridge one. It seems like the bodies have more money on them.
Yeah. And as people are discovering already, okay, the continuation of the Courage line hasn't been finished yet, so they just send you straight back to Soul Town, and they say, okay, finish off the Love line. But fair enough.
I wonder, you can get to all these places, right, once you get out of the starter?
Yeah, yes. But it appears to me that, yeah, you can visit Solace Bridge and Blood River at any other time, but you'll only see that starting scene of these three places when you go there for the first time.
Okay, like the burning houses and all the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, that's right, yes. If you come back to it later, well, yeah, the fires have died down and it probably looks reasonably different. But you'll only see that first introductory scene when you go through there as part of the starting process.
That's actually quite cool. So it varies the scene for you.
Absolutely, it is cool. Okay, and we've got Highvale, Jarnaford, the little riverfront town on the southern side of Paladus, just east of Longfall. It sees a few fawns sent by their satyr overlords to trade with the local humans. Very nice. It's a quiet place, prefers to stay that way. That's lovely. And Virtus, it's like the elves who live within. They try to come to terms with both their humans and their own past. Avatars that visit Virtus will find that the elves have much in common with them and seek to learn as much from Outlanders as they can. Hey, I saw Virtus when I was running around lost on the map last night, so that's where it is. Cool.
So Virtus, is that like the city before the checkpoint or whatever those points are called?
The control point? No, that's not terribly close to a control point. But I'd be battling to give you good directions because I was sort of wandering at that stage.
Also, Virtus Pass isn't near Virtus, huh?
Okay. I think the city town of Virtus is to the north of where Virtus Pass is. They might actually be quite close, but I'd have to look at the map again.
Is it snowy too?
Didn't go in. Looked like it would have been a snowy area, yes.
Okay, that's cool then.
Yeah, yeah. Lovely. I was trying to get to Rift's End and getting lost.
Yeah, it's hard not to get sidetracked, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Hey, they've got these lovely difficulty tier markers. Have you seen any of those yet?
I have. I've been keeping an eye out for them, and yeah, I've been sticking to the ones that just have one skull on them. Yes,
oh, terrific. Yeah. Yeah, so there we are. For anyone who hasn't seen them, you might see a few of these spikes with skulls near the exit archways, and they do have meaning. If there's one skull sitting on the spike, then that's a fairly easy area, so you should be all right. If there's four or five, beware and run. There's going to be some tough guys here.
Yeah, that's for just turn back around and try again. Unless you're some high-level guy, I guess you can do it.
Oh, that's right. And that's the challenge. When you get up and when your level gets up and when you are more confident and more powerful and more skilled, yeah, I think I can take on a four-skull challenge. And when you see a place with 15 skulls, you think, okay, the dragons live here.
Yeah. How many skulls do they have at the dragon place? That's a good question.
That is a good question. We're going to have to find that one out.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I've never seen more than four. If they got a 15, it'd be three spike poles.
Oh, yeah, it would. So, yeah, maybe four is the limit. That's going to be interesting. So I will keep my eyes out for those. They look really good. I think it's a great idea.
Oh, it is. We love visual, you know, easy to tell what's going on. It's good stuff.
Yeah, because as we've said, this game isn't gated. It's not locked off. Anybody's free to go anywhere at any time. They're just giving you a little bit of warning that this might be a hard area. And if you'd like to go there as a level 2 or 3... it's probably a good idea to take 10 other people with you.
That's right, or make sure you have your sprint skill up high enough where you can run through.
That's exactly right. Okay, they've made some polished passes to a whole bunch of scenes, including the West Perennial Trail, the Restless Woods, Chilblains Compendium. Oh, I like this. They reworked the difficulty ramp and made it harder too. Isn't that nice of them?
Well, considering I've never gotten through it, I'd say that's pretty scary.
Yeah, I have gotten through it with a team of 6 or 8 other people. And I did die a couple of times.
Yeah, I think I usually die in that slime room. I don't know if they've got the same layout, but back when I was doing it.
Probably have, but it's an awesome place, and it's a scary place. Okay, Epitaph and Soultown. Ah, the street signs in Soultown, that's cool. Okay, player-owned towns, they got an additional template for the underground biome, and the town owners can place the NPCs they choose. Nice. You can put NPCs down, you get male and female versions of each, and you can choose. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it's funny because the male and female versions on some of the people are, some of them are pretty haggard looking, so it's kind of cool you got a variation on the NPCs.
Oh, that's great. And look, in the future, there's going to be skin tone, there's custom naming, movement options. You know, you tell them to stay here or patrol, and you can add conversations. I know with Rift's End, Ender Andrew has written a whole raft of NPC dialogue that I'm sure he's just itching to get in, and that's going to be amazing.
That's great. Are they going to make it so that we can write the dialogue and just put it in, or does it got to be approved?
Yeah, next question. The only thing I do know is that Ender Andrew has been a great asset to the game. He's worked in collaboration with Port and has submitted a heap of dialogue. A lot of the NPCs in Ardoris are speaking his words, and in other towns as well. Now, that is all done, submitted to Port Illyrium, approved. So I imagine he's done the same sort of thing for the NPCs of Rift's End.
Oh, very good.
So that's probably what you'd have to do.
That's awesome, though, that he's got that much imagination where he can put that much dialogue in for the NPCs. That's a lot of work.
Oh, tell me about it. He's done huge amounts of work. It just further illustrates how good this community is.
Heck yeah, we do all this stuff for the love of the game. That's for sure.
We absolutely do. That's right. Okay, we've got a new biome template. We've got an underground one. I'm going to have to go and have a look at that.
It's very cool,
amazing.
Isn't it?
Amazing. Yeah. Massive underground caverns can support towns as big as a metropolis and can take an airship. They must be huge.
Wow. Yeah, it must be way high. I'd be curious if you look up, what do you got up there? Is it you can see the sky, or you see stalagmites, or what is it?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they've got underground lakes, they've got luminescent mushrooms instead of trees and grass. So up on the roof, you'd probably have crystals and stalactites, as you say. Yeah.
You'd probably be, wow, look at that though. Imagine, how would you not get lost? That's got a lot of different areas to go in.
Yeah, I mean, I can get lost anywhere.
I know, I don't need any help.
That's right. That'll be fun. They can establish a search and rescue service.
See, what I know, if I have a complicated house or a complicated map and I have the ability, I will put landmarks, you know, so I can find my way around, like with the lights.
Good idea. Yes.
But
yes,
there's not enough lighting to really make it totally good, but it helps.
Yeah. Now, I as I said to you, I love the street lights that you've put in Wizard's Rest. It really, really, really makes a difference. It is awesome. It just helps you to find your way from the entrance to, yeah, the main housing areas, and I think, yes, just follow the lights. This man's fantastic.
Well, you think of how giant this map is and how small amount of houses you're putting down. Yeah, rather than wandering aimlessly, let's just put them, like, where you can find them. Good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. So, anyway, look, I'll have to go and have a look at that biome. That looks brilliant. Okay, now there's a whole list of changes there, which probably won't go through, but they've done a whole lot to all the player-owned towns, which is awesome. Crafting architecture, They're mostly finished with a complete overhaul. It's going to let us do hundreds of thousands of item possibilities in the crafting system. Now, that's amazing.
I'm looking forward to that. I can't even imagine what are they adding to cause it to do that.
That's right. So there you go. So with a range of materials and their attributes, yeah, we can create thousands of things. That's just brilliant. Okay. And refining and production skills, crafting table attributes and all those sorts of things had to be delayed because of all the other work. So that'll probably come out next release.
Now, FYI, crafting has been improved, though, because you've got percentages on everything you're making, so you do stand a chance to fail.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently. It says here, yeah, recipes will now display your chance of success based on your skill level. So that's pretty good.
I mean, well, that's new because I don't remember ever failing anything. So that looks like, oh, even on 95% on everything I've tried to craft, you could still fail.
Yeah, yeah. I've had a few critical events. I mean, almost all the time, as you say, it works. But sometimes you get a critical event and it says it failed, but if you want to put some more coal in, it will work.
Now, if you don't put some more coal in, you say, okay, I failed, do you lose all your ingredients or you just try it again or what?
No, you just lose the coal or the wax if you're using something like tailoring. But your main ingredients you don't lose. You just say, no thanks, okay. I'll leave that alone. I'll just pull the ingredients back and have another go. I don't know how this new system will work. You might lose everything.
Well, see, that was some of the fun and irritation about other games. If you have a critical failure, a serious failure, your ingredients will either be lost, or you'll lose some of them, or they'll just turn into a pile of ash or some junk that you can't do anything with. I've seen that.
Ooh, that's going to be tough.
But I'm not trying to give them any ideas, so...
No. Any devs happen to be listening to this, close your ears.
Yeah, never mind.
We didn't say a thing. Okay, we got craft, refining, production skills, yeah. Success challenge, harvesting nodes. You can find pumpkins and granite nodes.
I was looking for pumpkins. I didn't see any. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be, yes. Hey, it'd be nice if they split off the granite because it was a little irritating. Every time you're mining a ore node, yeah, you get a bit of ore and two great big lumps of granite, which I didn't actually want, thanks very much.
Well, FYI, I'm still getting granite on my ore node, so they must have left it in.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll just have to build a wall.
But, on the bright side, you need money in this game. Just sell it. It's worth some money.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Excellent. I'll go sell all my granite.
But it does... Of course, then you've got the whole problem with you can't carry very much because you started at, no strength again. So, got that too.
Yeah. Yeah, once I start carrying half a dozen things, I'm overloaded.
Oh, I know. Three or four battles, I'm done. Okay, time to go back to town. Here we go.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, it's tough being squishy.
Being a mage, too, where you're not really working strength, but you kind of need it, so, eh.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, we've got new recipes for cooking and decorative items. Very nice. You can make your own skull candle and poison. Some people are going to be happy with that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what the other ones look like, because the ones you get off the store are really cool, so I want to see the crafted ones, too.
Yeah, that'll be beautiful. And now, this is great. If you go to Shard Falls and Control Points, you can really clean up there. Your resource yields are going to be awesome.
Ooh, so that's the control points, huh?
Yep. Shard Fall areas and control points. If you are game to go mining or logging or whatever, or gathering in those areas, you will clean up.
Now, once I get some levels, I think I'm going to try that because I really do need lots of wood and things like that to play with crafting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was cutting timber in Verdantis Shardfall, and great place. I mean, they are what you used to call high-level nodes that would give you 200 experience per tree. Now, of course, they don't show those numbers anymore, but I guess they still do. And you just walk around the island. You know, you cut a tree, there's another one, walk along, cut a tree, there's another one, walk along. By the time you've walked around, they've regenerated, so you just keep going. And you can go for as long as you want to.
Now, do you get more actual resources off each tree, too?
No, I believe it depends on your level. And my meticulous gathering wasn't very good, so I wasn't getting more than one. But the short answer is probably depends. Yeah, it's probably in line with chopping anywhere else. If your skill level is high, if your meticulous gathering level is high, yeah, you'd probably get more.
Yeah, we got really spoiled with that meticulous gathering when we first got it because you were just automatically pretty good at it. And now it's like, okay, now I got to get 10 points in these other two that I can't get to 10. And then when I do, I'll get, what, 0.3 or something chance to get meticulous? Ooh, it's pretty ugly.
Yeah, and you have to chop down a lot of trees at a skill level of, like, almost nothing. And you sit there and wait for the progress bar to go along because it takes forever. And then you do that 100 times and you actually get a little bit better.
Especially on mining. I literally was doing other things while I was mining because it's really slow.
Oh, I know. Tell me about it. Yeah, but it eventually gets better. So there you go. And fishing's getting better. Look at that. So we got bait recovery. It does increase the chance that you won't lose your worm. Nice. And you can cast your line further out if you're better at fishing. And you can see the line and the bobber when you're fishing. So it's all coming in.
Very cool.
Yeah, and now we've got hotspots in various maps that will get you more. And currently they're identical. They exist in deep swimmable water. So if you see a small visual effect, like sparkles on the surface of the water, okay, that's a hotspot. In the future, there'll be a range, like schools of fish. So you fish there, you'll get better results. Very nice.
I'm hoping to see actual fish swimming around in the water, and I'll tell you where they are.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. And we've got creatures coming in. We've got the fawns that will appear alongside the satyrs, who are the enslaved ones, and that'll be interesting to see how they behave.
Yeah, they're pretty neat looking. I can't wait to see them in game.
Yeah, that'll be great. And we've got a master apprentice system. So if you can find somebody who's achieved grand mastery in a skill and you go adventuring with them, you're going to advance in that skill so much faster.
Wow. Now I wonder, getting to 100 is no easy deal. So that'll be, we'll have to figure out who's going to be the people to talk to.
Themalok.
Yeah, I know. He's like 100 every skill. So, okay, come on.
Yes. So, all right. Yeah, I got dibs on adventuring with Themo.
Yeah, yep, that's right. He can probably charge money, you know.
He probably could, yeah. Good on him. Okay, lunar rifts, they will change destinations based on the calendar. Okay, that harks back to some of the earlier Ultimas.
Yeah, I remember those days, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. So don't think that just because it took you to Solus Bridge last time, it's going to take you there this time.
Now, are we going to have the little thing that tells you where it's going, or are you just going to have to know based on the sun or the moon or something?
Oh, I hope so.
See, I got to have my little manual around with me with my character.
Oh, if Star's in charge, there probably won't be a hint. You'll just go there and it'll be chaotic.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's just go there and if it's the wrong place, we'll go back out.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. And then that lunar rift will take us somewhere else completely. And look, if you
that's
keep
true.
Going...
You'll never get back.
You'll probably get back eventually. Okay, the Razer Chroma 4.8, they've upgraded. And yeah, hey, if you've got one of those keyboards, it displays all sorts of pretty colors for you, depending on what's happening.
Yeah, but you got to watch your keyboard, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And you can play the Teletype. Nifty.
I did play with that. It's very awesome, by the way.
Oh, that's magic. That's good. Well done.
That's great. Right.
And you can play your wax cylinders on your phonograph.
That's cool too.
Yep. And player homes, fixed a whole lot of player homes, polished, you know. They got dark rough stone blocks. They got fancy hot tubs. They got phonographs.
I can't find my hot tub, by the way, so I don't know where it is.
Oh, really? That's no good. Okay.
Yeah, I know they were talking about some of the things got lost, so I'm waiting. No big deal.
Okay. Cool. Okay, and you got smaller versions of some of the statues that you can put on your tabletop. Very nice. Musical instruments. You can now play your lute while you're sitting down.
Oh, now that's a cool feature. I like that.
That's lovely. Yeah, there you go. And, yeah, as I was saying, spider eggs and webs. All spider eggs and webs are interactive. So if you walk too close to an egg, it'll hatch. And if you walk through a web, you'll get stuck and call spiders to you. So be careful.
Now, as if spiders weren't bad enough, let's give them some more. Ooh.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, let's make them even more evil.
I mean, don't they usually come in groups of four and five anyway? So now we're going to call another group of four and five? Oh boy, we're in trouble.
Ah, we are indeed trouble. Especially when we're just starting out and we've got very little health anyway.
And don't forget, all the starter areas are loaded with spiders, so it's going to be really rough getting leveled up.
Yep, but there you go. So guilds, a couple of improvements. It's not as easy to accidentally leave the guild. That's a good idea. And you can put a message up there. That's lovely. We have a necklace slot, as we mentioned.
I put on my necklace. It's cool.
Oh, great. Brilliant. Okay. Oh, you've got the silver serpent and the anchor virtue. I think I've got a necklace too. I have to put that on.
Doesn't have any features, though. I don't know if they're going to put some features on them.
Oh, okay. And yes, their new water experiment that they were talking about. And as I said, it is absolutely awesome. It is beautiful. Haven't seen what it's like in rough weather, but boy, the water does look good.
Did they put that one in too, the rough weather one?
Well, I don't know. And during the time that I've been to Rift's End, the water is just clear, crystal, and beautiful. Sort of iridescent shade of pale blue. It is just lovely.
I definitely need to go there because I haven't seen the new water yet, so I'm missing out.
Oh, it's lovely. Mind you, there is a precedent for black water.
Oh?
Yeah. If you go to the west coast of Tasmania, there is a very, very large inlet, bay, harbour, whatever, called Macquarie Harbour. The water there is black.
What causes it to be black?
Ah, well, we did the tourist thing and did a bit of a cruise around the harbour and up the river, ta-da-ta-da, and they told us that the grass that surrounds the harbour on the hills, it's a particular kind of grass, it has tannins in it, as does tea. It rains a lot, and a lot of the tannins get washed down into the water. And it makes the water look dark.
Oh, it's kind of like a dye then, huh?
Well, sort of. It's still really good water because there are a lot of salmon farms there. So if you buy some Tasmanian salmon, it's probably where it came from.
So all the stuff that bleeds into the water is like really good for you, huh?
I guess so, yeah, that's right. See, I suppose, yeah, there you go. Tea is good for you because the salmon like it.
Tea is, yeah.
But yeah, the water looks absolutely black.
Very cool. That's, well, I guess we could say, okay, maybe we've got this kind of grass coming into our water, but maybe not all the water.
No, that's right. I love the clear blue water. That's lovely. Okay.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, well, Unity 5.2 upgrade. They are getting ready to localize languages. That's brilliant. And they moved their offices, and we got a grand tour to expect. Very nice.
That's awesome.
And getting back to the main news, the Fire Lotus Release 23 party was held in Neath, converted to an underground biome, and as they say, perfect for a Halloween-themed event with dark lighting, giant glowing mushrooms, stalagmites and stalactites, and overall eerie ambience.
Very cool.
Some fantastic pictures there. Makes me wish I could have gone.
Yeah. It's really hard to get everything done in this game.
Oh, I know. And, as they say, it just wouldn't be a traditional release party without Justin, one and only Gilbert, killing everyone at the end.
Oh, that's great. He did that again, huh?
Again, yes. The mass deaths.
One of these days, somebody's going to get revenge on him, I'll bet.
You reckon?
Probably some PvP guy, though.
Yeah, probably. That's right. But it's a lot of fun. Great. Okay, and patch notes. Yeah, we're up to build number 344 now. Boy, not bad.
Wow.
And yeah, okay, there's memory leak fixed. Okay, lots of miscellaneous bits and pieces that are happening better. Ah, this is interesting. I'm sure you'll appreciate this. Player-owned town fixes. Water lots are now placeable on Frozen Lake in Alpine player-owned towns.
And, oh, okay, so they fixed the ice to allow us to put water on them, huh?
I guess that's what it means. I guess you can put a waterfront lot onto a frozen lake, yes.
Okay, cool.
Nifty. Very nice. So that's good.
What about the fishing?
I haven't got the fishing in yet, but hope so.
As long as they're looking at it, that's good news.
That's very good news. Okay. And there's a lot of known issues, which, yeah, fair enough. You just have to read those, look at them, and before you rush and submit a bug and say, you know, this is horrible, it's not working, it saves them wasting the time and coming back to you and say, yes, we know that. We haven't done it yet. But there's a lot that's coming along online and is being fixed and being done.
Very cool.
And here we are, the next item, which is a closer look at the new template, the Underground Biome. Michael Hutchison created this. Several towns are using it, including Neath, and this is a close look at it.
Yeah, I definitely need to go see that. It looks cool.
Oh, it certainly does. And yeah, you got an overhead view with and without the lot placement. So yeah, looks fantastic, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's a metropolis size, I assume, right?
Yes, it can go up to a metropolis. So there you go. And I'm sure we can get lost in there quite easily.
Oh, yeah. I just picture how many exits are. It looks like there are only two. So I'm going to be lost.
Yes. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
As long as they nominate someone to sweep through the corridors at the end of every day and find all the stragglers.
Yeah. Before our dead bodies are laying somewhere. Yeah.
That's right. Okay. Next item, player-owned towns of Baron's Reach. This is the capital of the Baron League. So they caught up with Valis over at the Bear Tavern to chat about the arrival of Baron's Reach. He describes it as a collaborative effort to build and maintain a living, breathing urban hub, providing a place for fellow players to both use and experience. It's a big project. The capital of the Baron's League, Baron's Reach, crosses numerous player-owned town districts, spanning hundreds of homes. From government to entertainment, each one focuses on a different aspect of urban life to provide variety to both citizens and visitors. So with room for such a large community, our hope is that we can found an active and vibrant cosmopolitan player base, catering to the needs of everyone. With space for everyone from the poorest traveller to the richest lord, there's plenty of opportunities for interesting interaction with your fellow players. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that's very well planned out. That's great.
Certainly is. It started as the Bear Tavern Guild. They started as an inn and a tavern. Very nice. They've been featured in two community spotlights. And as he said, in September 2013, it's a project that focuses heavily on the social aspect of Shroud. To create an open, active community provides everyone the opportunity to socialize with fellow players. Initial discussions, the obvious choice was to create an inn or tavern where the player base could pitch up whenever they wanted. Taverns, yeah, they tend to be a prominent location in many stories within a fantasy setting, so it seemed a good choice for an in-game meeting place. And there we go, the tavern has had a presence ever since the very beginning.
That's pretty cool, seeing the old pictures.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Yeah, it's great. It's lovely. There was a Lord's Home. Yep. Of course, release one was single player, so there wasn't a lot of social activity going on there.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But, look, by May 2014, got to a city lot with a Baron's Home. They've really accelerated, haven't they?
Remember the old bars at the bottom of your screen?
Yes.
Didn't do anything?
No, that's right. I remember. Yeah. The Bear Tavern Party in June with a Duke's Castle. Impressive.
Yeah.
And they hosted a major tournament as soon as the PvP system was introduced in July 2014 called the Bear Tavern Brawl. So they've been right into it. Excellent. And they rewarded a royal warrant by Lord British in December 2014. Fantastic.
Great.
And the Baron League was formed in February 2015. And it comprises 9 guilds and organizations spread across 7 settlements. So we've got District Towns, Baron's Reach, Ardenair, Caer, Drakwich, Dragon's Rest, Faber's Rest, Fallen Green, Rift's End. And the District Towns, Foxkeep, High Rock, Port Baron, Porthmaid, Porthmara, Victory Arena, and White Oak. Wow. That's an enormous number of people.
So that's all. All those places are part of this whole city.
Yes, I believe so. Part of this great cooperative, conglomerate, and, yeah, community. So there we are. And so very well worth looking at and joining into. And next item. Extra Life, Play Games, and Heal Kids. This is worth doing. Every year, gamers unite to raise money for Children's Miracle Network hospitals around the country by playing games for Extra Life. It's a 24-hour marathon being held on Saturday, November 7th, begin at 8 a.m. CST. This year, community member Browncoat Jason will be streaming gameplay of Shroud of the Avatar on Twitch. And speaking of the community, the entire community has come together to create a series of in-game events and donate prizes to support the cause. From 8 a.m. Saturday, November 7th to 8 a.m. on Sunday, November 8th, there'll be tutorials, a welcome quest, a visit to the Church of the Dark Star, a party at the Hearth of Britannia, socialising at Port Phoenix, a PvP tournament, adventures fishing with Winfield, and much celebration. Come win prizes and help raise funds for this important charity event. And you can visit this forum thread by Browncoat Jason for information on how to take part. That's great.
Oh, very good.
Wonderful. And that's the gaming schedule right the way through. So well worth having a look at. Okay, next item, localization leaders are needed. They're beginning the language localization progress. Gina Dion, or Fire Lotus, posted a request this week for community leaders that might be interested in volunteering to coordinate the efforts of fellow community members. Okay, what they want. They want people, basically, who are bilingual. And we've got a lot. of people who are fluent in multiple languages. And we want people to, they want people to help coordinate the community translators. Everything, all of the text in Shroud needs to be translated. And it'll be done by a web service called Get Localization. They want to find community leaders for each language to organize additional volunteer translators and act as liaisons to Fire Lotus and the other devs responsible for this. So once selected, the leaders will be given access to this project so they can become familiar with it. And then once they've got leaders, they can help identify qualified translators so they can start translating. This is all going to be done by the community, and that's fantastic.
That's a lot of work. So yeah, good job everybody's doing that.
Oh, tell me about it. That is going to be an awesome amount of work. So look, if anybody out there, I can think of a few off the top of my head who'd be well qualified. If you're interested in this, contact Fire Lotus via support@portalarium.com, and you can be a part of this awesome project. Okay, and we have the winners of the Halloween decoration contest. Wow, looks a bit scary. And Edwin Newgate and Celine Noctua were sponsoring this. The first place winner was Gurney 2. Great.
Great.
That's a nice scary screenshot.
Yeah, that's cool. It's like pool tables. Good job there.
Yeah, that's lovely. Bone Dudes Playground are very nice.
Wow.
Love it. Drop Dead Bowling, anyone. That's good.
I like that. That's awesome.
That's just brilliant. And second prize went to Casey, third to Eriador, and fourth to Grave Godshammer. So congrats to all of you guys who worked so hard and did such awesome decorating. That is brilliant.
Yeah, congratulations. Good job, guys.
Yeah, and if anybody missed it, Laz with the NBNN put up this video of the four winning entries. So that will be a brilliant recap for anybody who didn't actually get to see it. Okay, and last week, Bernie Katzman, aka Piano Improman, joined Marquee Dragon for a special show of Shroud of the Avatar. He played the piano while Marquee adventured. It was a great show, and in case you didn't get to play it live, to watch it live, here is the video. So that'll be something else awesome to watch. We're getting some really good people involved in Shroud, and that is fantastic.
Yep, that's good stuff.
Okay, right. 3 days, people. Time is absolutely running out. Get in now or miss out forever. Last 3 days to get the pledge rewards and sale items that are expiring on November the 2nd. So if you're looking at a pledge that currently includes future episodes or additional character slots or waterfront homes and lots, jump in before November the 2nd, because after that they won't. And all of the store items that are on sale right now, including a lot of homes and property deeds, they're running at like half price, but they will go back to their regular price next week. So it's going to be a lot more expensive next week, and you won't get good value for money. So rush in, prize open your wallets, and tell the kids and the pets that they don't need to eat this week, and stock up on everything that you might need.
Yeah, you don't want to miss out on episodes 2, 3, 4, and 5, that's for sure.
Oh, no way. I think it's just going to get more and more exciting as every episode comes in. It was speaking to somebody, yeah, on the, I think it's on the MGT website. Somebody had seen a tentative layout. This is a sort of a future plan look, you know, the land mass we have now, I don't remember the exact order, but say you got a similar land mass out to the right. That'll be another episode. Similar land mass out to the left, one down the bottom, and one up the top. And that will be the whole lot once it's finished.
You've got a whole planet to have land on, so that's cool.
That's absolutely right. Okay. And get your 15% Black Friday bonus. That is running until December the 1st. So anything you buy from the store, from the add-on store, a pledge upgrade, whatever, you get 15% of it back as a store credit, with which you can buy something else. So that's even more awesome.
Yep, store credit is great.
Absolutely. Okay, in-game community events, of which there are so very many. And recurring events that happen all the time from the community events calendar. Lovely. Thanks to Spooky Jenny. We've got the monthly $150 writing contest by RPOTA. We've got the Bilbo Baggins decoration contest run by Marcello. Where in the world is Weenie? He's wandering around taking pictures of 50 places, and you have to work out where he was. You have to go and find where that picture is. Brilliant. The R23 Unreliable Travel Guide, a hilarious collection of short stories. Avatar's Radio, which is always awesome. NBNN Lunch with Laz and Jack, daily at 12. The Wartime PvP event, daily at 8 to 9. Daily Breakfast Club, the Tavern Respite, Challenge Dungeon Run, on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays, the Paxlea Working Hours. Tuesdays, Novian Academy every Tuesday at 6. Phoenix Republic Open Night, Wednesdays at 7. Singing, dancing and socialising, that's lovely. Happy Hour Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Storytime with Royal Sixie on Thursday at 7 a.m. Gladiator Wars, Thursdays at 7. Phoenix Republic PvE nights, Thursdays and Fridays, 7 p.m. Navian Academy roleplay courses, Fridays at 4. Teaching everyone how they could effectively roleplay, which I could probably learn a bit of. Shardfall Madness, Fridays at 6. Vengeance Madness, Fridays at 7. And an astronomy event, Fridays at 7:30. And that's just the regular stuff.
That's great.
Yeah. And Saturday we have Paxley Working Hours at 9, Church of the Dark Star at 11, 12 o'clock, the Welcome Quest Halloween Edition. Their starting point is the Isle of Ghosts. That seems strangely appropriate.
Yeah, that's great.
And 5 o'clock, Halloween Alternative. Come visit Caer Drakwich, where the Knights of New Britannia will host a Halloween alternative. It'll be a bit impromptu. They might party, they might trade books, they might go hunting for the hat, or listen to you perform. Whatever. They might have a surprise or two. They might do all of the above. So just a random impromptu hangout. That sounds interesting.
Notice who's sponsoring that.
Yes. Yeah.
So holidays.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And Port Phoenix, a Halloween party social night. Lovely. And 8 o'clock, a Vengeance 1 versus 1 tournament. Sunday, exploring Novia with Royal Sexy, a Paxlea meeting at 8:30. Phoenix Republic weekly TeamSpeak meeting at 11. CST Serenite Shopping Extravaganza at 2, Gust Ball at 3, 5 o'clock, BMC Gridiron Feast and Registration, followed by Gladiators Gridiron at 5:30, a Paxlea meeting at 7, and if you can still stand, Fishing with Winfield at 8 o'clock. So there we are. That's an awesome amount of social and exciting things to look at and do.
Even on a holiday weekends, yeah, they're just staying busy.
I know. And upcoming events, we have a whole lot of stuff happening right up to release 27 in February. And it'll be fascinating to see how close we are to alpha or beta by then.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. And last word, recommended to back the Bard's Tale 4. Returning to Scarabrae for the long-awaited dungeon crawling sequel to the Bard's Tale trilogy. Single-player, party-based, with dynamic phased-based combat. Puzzles and riddles set to beautiful Gaelic music. So that sounds like a lot of fun if you've got any time left over from playing Shroud, which I haven't. Have a look at that.
Yeah, it's very hard to keep up. Just a little FYI, the enhanced edition of Divinity came out this last week, so that's been keeping me busy on top of it.
Oh, brilliant. Fantastic.
Oh yeah, so much to do, so little time, we know.
I know. Need to win a lotto, quit work, and find a way not to have to sleep.
Now that would be great. How about a pill that makes it so you don't need to sleep anymore? I'd like that one.
That would be wonderful. Look, if I ever patent that, I will give you some for free.
Oh, I'll take it. That'd be awesome. As long as it's not deadly or addictive or something.
You've been a bit picky there.
Just a little bit. I know.
Okay, well, an awesome amount of wonderful news for the week. I am just loving this release. The visuals and everything about it, it looks absolutely brilliant. I've got to get into that hat quest because I'm determined to get the hat from every release. So I will report back next week to tell you how difficult it was.
Yeah, me too, hopefully. I usually get it done within the first week, depending on how bad or hard it is or anything. Last one was the worst, so we'll see if they're easier or harder this release.
Absolutely. Alrighty, well, time for some more serious exploring and delving into this wonderful land.
That's right, we have lots to do, brand new weak characters and empty houses, so we got things to do.
Ah, yes. So much decoration, so much questing, people to kill, and so little time.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, plenty of things to kill, but just not enough time to do it, not enough strength to do it either.
That's for sure. It all gets better.
That's for sure. It'll get better, guys. In 3 more months, we'll be doing this again, right?
Oh, I know. All right, how many more wipes are we going to have to endure?
Well, we know there's going to be, they're going out to, what, February on the update schedules.
Yeah.
I think Coeur d'Alene's guessing December. I'm somewhere in July, so where are you at?
Yeah. I'm saying around April. So I'm saying at least 2 more wipes and maybe the final. I'm saying at least 3 more wipes.
Okay. I say 4, so we'll see who's closest.
Good stuff. Okay. Alrighty. But we'll survive.
Oh yeah, we're having fun doing it, so it's all good.
Absolutely. And the good thing is, every time they do a wipe, we learn that, yeah, that wasn't such a good way to do things. We can do it better this way. By the time the game is launched, we'll be professionals.
Well, the thing I'm noticing with the wipes is it seems like they're making it harder and harder to accumulate wealth and assets with each new wipe.
Okay.
My character's broke. He's dead broke, and he's can't buy anything.
Oh, that makes it tough. Okay. That's really hard on new players, but I guess it's a lesson in life. You start out small, and you have to be patient.
Well, we're here to actually get an idea as the tricks to get money, you know? So we're getting a head start here, so that's good.
That's right, yep. Yep. And being a game that's expected to run for 5-10 years, you can't expect to be rich and fully functioning and fully decked out within the first month.
That's right. Matter of fact, you can't even expect to start buying your skills until a couple of weeks of earning money and getting ready.
That's right, yeah. So it will be a slow process, but it'll be all the more satisfying and an amazing sense of achievement when it happens.
Yeah, that kind of stuff keeps you playing. If you have everything handed to you, then the game's not fun. But if you actually have something to shoot for, the game is fun.
Yep. And I think there's always going to be something beyond the horizon to shoot for. And that will keep people in the game.
That's right. There's always some new piece of swag that you're trying to gather or you're trying to find. And that is all good stuff.
It is. And there will be a new boss or a mini boss in that corner of the world that you are determined to be able to kill eventually.
Yeah, whether you can do it alone or you can do it with a group of 20, you need to do it and see what happens.
That's right. And then you walk home with your head held high and think, I dealt with that guy.
I got a piece of his head, you know, I put it on my mantle, I'm happy.
That's right. Yep, that'll be a good feeling.
It will be. Yeah, those are the kind of things that just makes the game fun.
Okay, brilliant. All right, so have fun, everybody. And explore, and don't get killed too much.
Yeah, try not to, and definitely have fun, and enjoy all the new scenery. It's good stuff.
Beautiful.
So, taking us out, the awesome background music you are hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Teagle for the technical work on the newscast. Please support Avatars Radio. The radio needs your support to continue to make the magic of this program, podcast, music, and events possible. Please go to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. Thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith and
Asclepius
with Echoes from the Caverns.